God, I wish this had alcohol in it.
The can kind of looks like it does.
Yeah, it kind of does look like it should, but it's actually high performance energy and enhanced mental focus. So,
I think we kind of need the second one, especially after the day we're doing.
No. What I need is something to dull my senses after that fucking futile football game we had.
Yeah,
was goddamn awful. Like I would have enjoyed more hitting myself in the nuts with a baseball bat repeatedly, yelling Jumanji. Like, it was so fucking bad. There was nothing, no redeeming factor to it. We lost how many fucking players during it because of that shitty Meadowlands fucking bullshit turf.
Yeah. And
then the team just played like ass.
Was it four turnovers, right? Was it four?
Five?
I don't even
four.
Know.
Four.
Yeah. And
three, you know, interceptions by
Jalen. Yeah, Jalen decided to match his career high in INTs. Not good at all.
Honestly, look, two of them, not his fault. One of them, the one should have been ruled a fumble, in my opinion. The one that went into Goddard's hands and then got punched out. To me, he had established possession. That was a fumble, but they called it an interception. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The other one where his arm got hit while he was throwing, it happens. I'm not upset by that one. I'm upset that the line didn't block, but fuck, we were missing the entire right side of our offensive line. The third one is the inexcusable one because he stared down Goddard, who was double covered. There's no excuse for that throw. None. And then there were times when he should have run instead of thrown. It was not, that was his worst game since his rookie season.
No, you're absolutely right.
But it's not all his fault. Jalen is to blame, but the fucking play calling sucked donkey dick.
Yeah.
How do you go against the 27th ranked rushing defense in the league and fucking throw 50 fucking times?
That's what makes no sense. I wondered that too. So I'm going to quickly just kind of roll up the stat line here in the terms of just looking at it per player. And I say this knowing full well that we had a game where DeAndre Swift ran for, what, 175 yards or whatever?
Yeah.
You know what he did today? 10 carries, 18 yards.
39 yards?
Yeah, 10 carries, 18 yards on the ground. Now, granted, he did have 8 catches for 40 and a TD. But still, all told, still, you know, 10 touches on the ground. It's ridiculous. Jalen himself led the team in rushing, 47 yards and a score. That was it.
Can't fucking happen.
No. Jalen's overall line, like you said, 28 for 45, 280 yards. The one touchdown, as I already mentioned, and the three picks that we mentioned. He did spread the ball around a little bit passing game, which makes sense since he threw friggin' 45 passes. To AJ, Devontae, Dallas, and DeAndre all had five or more catches. But still, like, you're right. It's completely inexcusable that you have a rush defense as bad as the Jets is, and you're not running the ball, you know, at all.
Devontae Smith looked like a hot bag of ass today, too. He wasn't doing shit.
No.
He was dropping passes left and right. He was not himself at all. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with him, but he needs to get his shit straight.
Yeah, especially after, you know, such a hot start to the season for him. And granted, you know, yeah, you could say, you know, he was just, you know, the guy that was open because AJ was getting double covered or whatever it was, you know. But he's really done a whole lot of nothing post really the first couple of weeks of the season. And, man, yeah, they need to figure this stuff out because they work well together when they spread the ball around. You know, running game strong, you know, AJ's getting the looks like he did today. Look, AJ didn't, you know, let's not kid ourselves. He did get 7 catches for 131 yards. I mean, he still had a prototypical AJ game. Didn't find the end zone.
No.
And I know that's been a point of contention, amongst some Philly sports media fans, whatever, at some point. It's like, he's your playmaker, get him the ball, get him in the end zone, whatever. But look, he did put up over 100 yards, so that's something at least. But still, the other thing we need to address, I guess, is the fact that this is the first time the Jets have ever beaten the Eagles.
Yeah. And Robert Saleh, listen, this motherfucker, I wanted to like this guy. He seems like a guy that would fit right in Philly, but he's a fucking jerk off. So fuck him. And I hope the Jets lose every fucking game from here on out. I was pissed off as a motherfucker when the Chiefs beat them and the way they beat them. But you know what? Nah, fuck them. They deserve it. And I wish we would have beat their asses today, because fuck that guy. Cocky fucking prick.
Look, they don't have a whole lot going for their season. They're 3-3. I don't know that this might be like their high watermark. You know, we also had a day today where the other undefeated team lost against the PJ Walker led Cleveland Browns. So that game started off even more of a mess, in my opinion, with a fight that basically ended up costing you Debo Samuel. Christian McCaffrey gets hurt. So the one other team that I was honestly scared to death of, now it's like, oh boy, they're, you know, because that team looks completely different without Debo on the field. And yeah, then you start taking the other main piece out of it, it just, they look even worse. Because then you're leading, you know, I was watching them, it's like, okay, you're trying to lead your receiving core with Ray McCloud and Jawan Jennings, and it's not good. Like, no. It's really, really bad.
That's the silver lining from today, is that the fucking Niners lost too. But it's just, man. But I honestly just don't give a shit. The Eagles played so fucking piss poor today. It's just inexcusable. It's absolutely inexcusable the way that they played. They were not prepared. They were making stupid mistakes. They had a fucking 12 men on the field penalty at one point on defense. They did not give a shit about this game. They were not ready for it. They were not up for it. They did not make the plays that they needed to make. They didn't look like they cared. The Jets right. were the team that was out there. If you didn't see the records before this game and you knew nothing about either team and you watched this game, you would think easily that the Jets were the better team, were the team with the best, with the better record of the two, because the Eagles didn't have it today. And there's no fucking excuse for an NFL team to not fucking have it.
But no, I was looking at the time of possession, and you know, the Eagles historically seem to do better in games where, and this makes sense, where they obviously dominate the clock. But today it was almost dead even. So there was no clock domination. And I say that in the sense that they had the ball for 30 minutes and 44 seconds. The Jets had it for 29:16. So I don't know. That's another thing too. It's like ball control just wasn't there. And I think that shows with the amount of turnovers and just, like you said, just not caring.
Well, and the ball control comes from running the fucking ball.
Yeah.
Which they just inexplicably chose not to do today. Honestly, dude, Brian Johnson has got to fucking go. Brian Johnson, the offensive coordinator, it's clear that Shane Steichen was the genius behind the offense.
Mm-hmm.
That's super fucking clear at this point. So Nick can't call an offense. We know that from his rookie year as a head coach. He can't call the offense. He had to give up play calling duties to Steichen that year, and that's when they started turning things around. That's crystal clear. Sean Desai on the defense, doing a great job. I like what he's done with the defense. But Johnson can't call an offense, and fucking Sirianni can't either. So you need to get somebody in there that can call the fucking offense, or else this season's done.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the thing. Do you think they make any moves like that?
No.
At this point?
No. Honestly, they will not make a move like that mid-season.
No.
Sirianni's he's too loyal to his people. And every time I say Sirianni, my fucking phone thinks I'm talking to it. So it's picked up. But he's not gonna fire his offensive coordinator
No.
Halfway through the season. He's not going to do it. So what it comes down to is Howie's going to have to go out and do Howie things and get some more talent for this team somehow, some way, to cover, to mask the deficiencies they have in the play calling department. That's or to enough defensive talent that it doesn't matter what the fucking offense does.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's another thing, though. These fucking rookie defensive backs, though, holy goddamn shit, are they terrible. We need another fucking safety. And if Reed Blankenship is out for more than just today's game, they need two fucking safeties.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because they can't keep playing. They can't keep playing shitty pass defense. At least the defensive line and the edge rushers were getting home today. But, you know, how are we in a game like this with Zach Wilson as the fucking quarterback? How do we leave this game with no interceptions?
Yeah. Yeah, it makes no sense.
It's just not – you can't – they're – the thing is, were they 5-0? Yeah, absolutely. They were 5-0. They played some good football. They did some good things. Their defensive backs were not picking off passes. They were not getting turnovers like they need to get. They're, you know, the defense was playing well, but the defensive backs – look, I hate to say it. I love Slay. I like James Bradbury. They have taken massive steps back, and maybe it's because they haven't had a good corner until Bradley Roby came in. Maybe it was Bradbury was playing out of position, playing the slot corner, playing the nickel corner. Maybe it's because the safeties weren't good, aside from Blankenship. But you can't, you just can't have this shoddy ass defensive backfield play. You can't. Yeah. Not in these games.
No. No, you're completely right. 5-1 as I appear at the NFC East right now, and we still are undecided on the Giants game as we record this. NFC East, 5-1 Eagles. The Cowboys have the Monday night game, which is tomorrow, 3-2. Commanders 3-3, and the Giants are set at 1-4. They currently lead the Bills, oddly enough, 6-0.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Listen, I really need...
Maybe this is the black hole day.
I really need 14 points between Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen. Because if I get 15 points... Or no, I need... 14 points between the two of them, because then I will win in the money league, and I really need to win that, especially since I'm playing a team that's fucking 0-5. So if I'm going to salvage anything out of this weekend, I mean, I did beat you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You crushed me on that one.
But that's
of course, like, I didn't realize that one of my running backs wasn't playing either.
Yeah, that's true.
Of course, I got riddled with injury in that one. So yeah. I was basically like trying to find anything. Picked up Jahmyr Gibbs, found out he wasn't playing. It's like, well, I'll throw in the Bears rookie running back. I had no idea he wasn't playing.
If you would have played Kenny Gainwell, he'd at least gotten you 2.7 points.
Yeah.
But that's the only other running back you have on your roster that has
Exactly, and I made some moves later last week trying to figure that out, and I was like, there's no one available.
Jesus. Yeah, I mean, and if I would have – honestly, if I would have looked at – I was driving back from South Carolina today to try and get back and watch the Eagles game. What a fucking mistake that was. If I'd have realized you didn't have somebody in, I'd have let you know before – kickoff, but
it's all good. You got me pretty handily there. There was no way I was gonna make it up anyway.
but yeah, man, this week in the NFL was a fucking shit show in every sense of the word. Injuries, yeah. Major injuries all across the NFL, and Jesus Christ, the Eagles just looked like a pile of shit. So
let's go to the other side of the thing though.
Well, let's go middle now.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Fair enough.
So the Flyers opened up their season. Started off strong, 4-2 win over Columbus. The fourth goal came with like 0.2 seconds left on an empty netter. But they win their opener and then drop a game to Ottawa 5-2. So they sit at 1-1. I mean, this is a season where we're not gonna see them set the world on fire. You know, we know that going in. It's gonna be like a learning season. It's almost like a preseason season.
Right.
Because we gotta see what they have. And we're rebuilding at this point. So it is what it is. You're just looking for bright spots at this point.
Yeah, no doubt. 4-2 win over Columbus to open the season. And then, like you said, they dropped the 5-2 to Ottawa. You're right. I mean, you've said this many times before on here already. Like, look, you just kind of see what you have. No expectations, really, of anything.
Yeah.
In fact, I know you were probably just as surprised as I was that they even won the opener. So,
no, that's the thing. They've been on this weird streak, and I forget how many in a row it is now. But they tend to win their openers. Let me see, season openers. Who have the Flyers won? So, of course, it's not going to tell me what I fucking want to know here. But like, I know they won their their opener last year. They won it this year. I for some reason I feel like they've won like five openers in a row. But they've, you know, they're a young team. They're up and coming. We'll see what happens. A lot of young talent, a lot of guys that are trying to find their place in the NHL. So hopefully that happens sooner rather than later, and we can look forward to some playoff hockey in the somewhat near future.
Yeah, no doubt. But yeah, let's we'll finish off with some positive though. We have the Phillies who somehow, some way have made their way right back to the NLCS. They're playing the Diamondbacks. That starts tomorrow. ALCS.
Heavily favored.
Yeah, which is wild to hear. You know, as a lifelong Phillies fan, I'm sure you feel the same way.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, wait, fucking heavily favored?
Yeah. That doesn't even make any sense.
Right.
What are those words, and what do they put together?
Yeah, when does that happen? I thought that was only Yankees.
It's just weird, but... look, I think people are finally starting. Lee, and I say people, I mean like the national media, whatever, the fans really have seen what a team really is. And then you don't need like, you know, the best outfield. You don't need the MVP necessarily. You don't need the best pitcher. You don't need the Cy Young. You just need a team.
Right.
And the Phillies have proved that, and they've done it with, you know, veteran leadership, and they've done it with young guys. I tell you what, your year two guys this year have stepped up so big. Stott and Boehm and Marsh and those guys have just really, really taken. And then your rookies, look at Rojas, look at the late addition of Kirkering. Really, really ridiculous. Like, you know, you're getting these contributions from, you know, players that you don't expect. And then the Trey Turner ovation, and then look what he does, and then just goes absolutely ballistic,
dude. So let's talk about that for a second. So I've been watching on YouTube, just to see what the national media, not that I really give too much of a shit, but certain people I like to know what they think of the team. And Rich Eisen was talking about the Phillies on his show, and he was talking about the Phillies and how Bryce Harper is a killer, and how the team came together, and how we kind of have two people that are the same kind of temperament in Sirianni and Harper, and how, you know, the Eagles went to the Super Bowl last year and the Phillies went to the World Series, and how like every, you know, all this stuff is happening all at the same time. And they were talking about how Philly, like how, you know, he reveled, like how Harper's becoming kind of the personification of Philly sports and the attitude of Philly sports and how he enjoyed basically flipping off Arcega by staring him down.
Yeah, the stare downs, yep.
Right? And they were talking about all that stuff. And then one of his little cohorts brings up the Trey Turner thing. And he goes, yeah, didn't Trey Turner put up a billboard thanking the Phillies fans for booing him and for doing this and that? And that's when he turned his season around because he really took it personally. And I'm like, really? That's what people are taking? National media thinks?
Wow, that's...
But Rich Eisen set him straight. He goes, no. He goes, no, the fans gave him a standing ovation and were super supportive of him. And then he put up the billboard to thank them genuinely for giving him support.
Right.
So he,
which is exactly what happened.
Got it right. But I'm like, this is the people take this thing that happened and they're not even paying attention to it. They're trying to turn it on its head because they're the national media and we're Philly and we know how everybody thinks about us. You know, it pissed me off a little bit.
The other cool thing is you have players like Nick Castellanos, who was an absolute fireball first half of the season, kind of goes cold for a while there. And then as soon as the playoffs start, I mean, my goodness.
Right.
So he basically sets a record for back-to-back multi-home run games in the postseason. No one's ever done that. Then you have, you know, just the crazy, you know, the pitching's been phenomenal all the way throughout. Yeah. You know, it really has. Wheeler and Nola just top their game, just really shutting it down. The bullpen game, game one against the Braves, Suarez started. I call that bullpen game because Suarez only went through, you know, 3 2/3. Just crazy, you know. I mean, contributions from everybody all the way around. So it's just like it's that whole team concept. And I just kind of wonder where – I know the heavily favored thing is like, yeah, it makes sense. But the Phillies have come out and said themselves that, like, they see themselves in the Diamondbacks, you know, where the Diamondbacks aren't supposed to be here, much like the Phillies weren't supposed to be there last year. Right. So that's dangerous.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You got two teams that at this point, they got nothing to lose.
No.
You know? And the Diamondbacks are playing with house money at this point. The Phillies, you know, they were a wild card team. So regardless, you know, they're technically, they beat the seeds that were higher than them. They shouldn't be there either, according to, you know.
Yeah, they beat the best team in baseball as far as regular season is concerned.
Right. So, you know, it's two teams that got nothing to lose, and they're both young and hungry. And honestly, I don't want to sound like a homer, even though I fucking am. But I see the Phillies getting past them. I was worried about the Phillies playing the Marlins in the wild card route because the Marlins always figure out a way to beat us.
Right.
Well, not in the fucking playoffs, they don't. And I had wanted the Diamondbacks, but now I'm kind of, I don't know. I am a little bit worried. I'm a little nervous to see them.
Yeah, I kind of, my head was kind of like, man, it'd be so cool to revisit the BLA stuff because, you know, that would have obviously been, you know, revisited. And then to me, this doesn't end any other way than taking Houston out.
Yeah.
If you're going to storyline it. But, you know, look, got to get through the Diamondbacks first.
Right.
I know. I was in the same way. I thought, you know, the Marlins would be a little bit of a tougher thing. And obviously, as soon as they got to Atlanta, I was like, oh, well, you know, it is what it is. Let's see what happens. Of course, now this is 2 years in a row. So if it happens again, it's like now the expectation is going to be happen every time.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, fucking keep it going. Keep stomping those tomahawk wielding fucks.
Okay, I do have to ask you that. What's your opinion of the Phillies fans doing that, the tomahawk chop?
I hate the tomahawk chop. I hate it in all of its permutations. I hate it for FSU. I hate it for the Chiefs. I hate it for the Braves. Fuck them. Do it, because you know what? Make it like Skull. Like when we fucking took Skull from the Vikings and did it as Foles. But figure out a better thing to do. Like figure out a better way to do the stupid ass chop if we're going to do it. Or like do it in a mocking way.
Yeah, there were people doing it with like flipping the middle finger. You know.
That's just too cliche.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, that's like, that's what they expect. We got to turn it on its head somehow.
Yeah, the only bad thing is
a better way to do it.
Now you're getting to the point in the playoffs where, unfortunately, especially for the home games, the tickets are astronomically high. And so you're not getting like, I mean, you're getting some real fans in there. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'm not trying to say that. But you're getting a different crowd overall. We noticed that during the World Series last year.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's going to happen again. Yeah. Remains to be seen on how that all goes. But that, you know, that's the only thing. It's like, man.
Dude, and that's what kills me. Because that's, look, let's not pretend that the Phillies don't have a real home field advantage when it's the wild card round and the NLDS. Like, let's not pretend that that's not a real thing. So how do we, what I would love to see happen is some big local company like Tasty Cake or like God forbid Comcast or Acme or Wawa or somebody buy a shitload of those tickets and give them to real fans.
Right. Right.
And then let the actual fans that really give a shit go, where it's not just, oh, this is the cool place to be seen, so I want to be at the Phillies game.
Right, right. And because, you'll see that, you know.
Because how long did that happen? Like once we started making the playoffs, so 2007, right? 2007, 2008, you started seeing a little bit. After the fucking World Series in 2008, it started becoming a thing where it was just the cool thing to be at Phillies games, and you had like people who didn't give a shit about baseball whatsoever just going to, oh, I went to the Phillies game last night.
Well, and I can attest to this. And then the Phillies fans travel better than they did. You know, when Danielle and I went to the 08 Milwaukee game 3, and I've talked about that a bit on our, maybe not on Jelts necessarily, but our regular pod. You could literally, because 40,000 people or whatever that stadium held, you could literally see like the amount of red in that crowd, and it was maybe 100 people. Like they were just getting to that point. And of course, that ends up being the year they win the World Series.
Right.
But now, you know, I could easily see that being much more. You know, they travel a lot better. They'll, you know, they'll go. Like we've been to, gosh, we went to a Cardinals playoff game in 11 and the Cardinals playoff game last year. And there was, considering that it's hard, always hard to tell because
yeah.
Team colors, but that you could still see quite a bit more, especially walking around. You know, so you know, it's just one of those things. You know, I think, like you said, place to be, but then I do think people travel better too.
Yeah. Well, that's the what you call one of the tour groups in Philly actually already had everything set up to go to Arizona. So I know that there's going to be groups of Phillies fans out in Arizona for these games.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, from all's told, it seems like their tickets might be even cheaper than – or at least cheaper and available. Yeah. So,
hey, it can't be any worse than the Rays.
Oh, yeah, that's just sad.
That's you know what really sad. Sucks, too? Let's be real here. I don't like to advocate for any city to have their team taken, because I can't imagine what it would be like if we lost the Phillies or the Flyers or the Eagles.
Right.
I mean, the Sixers. But, you know, I would hate to see that happen, and I hate to advocate for that to happen to any team or any city. But when you can't fill a stadium even three quarters of the way for a playoff game, why do you have a team?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're getting a new stadium.
Yeah. That blew my mind. That blew my mind.
The excuses that I'm hearing is, oh, well, it was a day game. people were at work. Motherfucker, if that game was in Philly, that building still would have been packed. And you know what would have happened?
There's people tailgating without having tickets.
Right. There would have been people without tickets there. Everybody's just skipping work that day or school or whatever the fuck it is. And they're going to be at the stadium because you know why? We give a shit about our team. So I don't want to hear this excuse of, oh, I had to work. Oh, I'm a doctor. I had to perform surgery. I'm a lawyer. I had to go to court. Fuck you. Go to the game, douchebags.